Begin the current daf, Maseches Bava Metzia, daf Pei. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the theme of the previous Mishnayos, discussing the halachas of our perek of Haseicha regarding someone who rents something. And as the previous Mishnah spoke about a case, someone rents an animal and he then has a breach of contract. It was made up to do one thing with it and he does something else with it. What's the halacha now that he changed the terms of the contract and something happens, is he liable for the damages or not? So the Mishnah says, if someone rents a cow to plow with it. Now additionally, when they would rent the cow for plowing, the owner of the cow would give along the tools that were necessary for the plowing, and it was a one-stop shop. Not only would you rent the cow, he would give you all the tools that are necessary for plowing with the cow, and he would even send along a few of his workers to help out with the animal that you're renting. Now one of the workers would hold what's called the darvin, which is the goad, which is what directs the cow in the furrows in how to plow. Then there's another guy who would be behind the plow, who would be weighing down what's called the yesed, which is the blade, the metal blade that goes into the ground, which is what plows the ground, which is called the kalter, which is what the term used in our Mishnah is called the kankan. So says the Mishnah, if someone rents the cow to plow, and he rented it to plow bahar, on mountain type of region, and then he plows it in a valley. So if the kalter breaks, which is the blade, then he's going to be exempt. And the reason for that is because, why does it break? Because it's rocky, it hits a rock and it breaks the blade. If you were able to do it in the mountain, which is very rocky, for sure in the valley, and therefore you're going to be exempt. But if you made up that you're going to plow in the valley and ended up plowing in the mountain, then the Nishbar Kankan, then if through the working, then the coulter, the blade breaks, then Chayiv are going to be liable because mountainous regions are harsher to plow in because there's rocks over there. And there you weren't supposed to plow it, and that is going to break it, and therefore you're liable. So to Lodish Bekitness, let's say you had made up that you're using the animal to thresh beans, the Dash Bitvua, and ultimately you used it to thresh with grain. Sapatu, you're exempt if the animal slips and hurts itself. But let's say you made up to thresh grain and you ended up using it to thresh beans, then you're going to be liable in the shakitnis machalekis because legumes, beans, they're slippery and they're slimy, and therefore the animal could more likely slip and injure itself doing that, and that you didn't make up. You're going to do grain, which is dry, and therefore that deviation would be chayv. So again, that was the Mishnah's concept. If you change it to something that is more likely to be liable, then you're going to be chayv. If it's something less likely, and then something like that happens, then you're going to be potter. So the Gemara asks as follows. So regarding the opening case of the Mishnah, we said that the one who rents the cow, if he changes from the terms of the contract, and then the blade breaks, then if it's something more likely to be damaging, then he's going to be chayv. So the Gemara asks, Heicha d'loy shanim ba? What's with if, let's say, the renter does not change the terms of the contract, and therefore the owner of the cow has no claim against the renter, but the two workers that work on the plow, you have one guy, again, who leads the cow, and you have the other one who holds the colt or the blade in the place as the other guy's leading the cow to plow, and these two guys were hired workers. Man mishalim. So in this situation, if the blade breaks, who is the one that was negligent that caused it to break? It shouldn't be breaking. So if you change locations, okay, we understand it's the renter, it's your fault. But let's say he didn't change. He made up to plow in the valley, and he plowed in the valley, and now they're called the broke. Why did it break? Someone did something wrong. Who did the wrong thing? Was it the guy who was leading the cow, or was it the guy who was holding the blade into the ground? So Amar Papa, he says, the Nokud Parashim, the one who is holding the goad, the one who is leading the cow, he's Mishalim, he pays, because obviously he didn't lead the cow appropriately. It's because he went off from the row of where it was supposed to be, and he went to the side where it's rocky, so that's why the blade broke. So he's the one that's liable. Whereas Rav Shisha Bereid Rav Idiam, he disagrees. He says, no, Dinokat Mana, the one who is holding the coulter, the blade, he's Mishalim, he's the one that pays, because he obviously had pushed the blade in too strong into the ground, and too far deep in, and that's why it broke when they were moving, so it's actually his fault. So Rav Machlekes, who is the one that's negligent, either the one that was leading or the one that was holding in the blade? Says the Gemara, B'Hilchos HaDa'alacha is, the Noked Man Mishalim, the one who is holding in the blade, he's the one that pays. And the reason for that is because even if the other guy would have gone off, the one who was leading, took it off the row where they were supposed to be staying, had this guy not stuck it in too deep, it wouldn't have broken. If it's up in the air, it's not getting stuck in anything ground. It's not going to break even if they're going over rocks. It's obviously because of his negligence that he stuck it in too deep. Even if the other guy went off, it was him that was holding the most responsibility for the breaking of the blade, and therefore he's going to be chai. Now, but says the Gemara, V'iduchta demachzika gundari, but if the place that they were plowing was a place that was presumed to have, let's say in the place where it's mountainous, where that there is rocks and there's stone and there's granite, meaning they know that this is a very, very difficult place to plow, then tavai mashama. Then the Gemara says that actually both of them have to pay them because they should have been very careful, because even a slight deviation from the leading of the animal, even if the other guy's holding the blade in a normal way, it's going to break. And therefore, since it's a situation of doubt, we don't know who was negligent, because technically it very likely could be either one in this situation. Therefore, both of them are going to pay in such a place. Now, the Gemara talks about a related discussion. This is where we're talking about the rental of animals. So the Gemara segues regarding the sale of an animal. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. If someone sells a cow to his friend, and he tells him as follows, he says, look, parazua, I just want you to know, I know you want to buy this cow, but nakhanasi, it's a gore. This is a crazy animal. It gores, it just pushes other animals. Nashchanasi, it's a cow that bites. Batanasi, it's a cow that kicks. Ravtanasi, it's a cow that just plops down, that just smashes things, it lays down on things. Now, but, says the Gemara, v'hayibam mum echad, in actuality, it only had one of these blemishes. But v'sinafoy bein ha-mumin, he added it on into as an addendum to all these other blemishes, which it actually didn't have. It actually didn't have all these other things. It only had one of these, whichever one it was. Says Rabbi Yechon, harizim mekech tois. So this is a mistake on acquisition. The reason for that is because the consumer, he realizes that it doesn't have all these other blemishes. So he thought, it must be the seller. Is this lying? Why is he making up all these bad things about his cow? It's because he just doesn't want to take responsibility. I want you to know this is a crazy cow, this and that. Okay, fine, you know, he's just nervous. He thinks that, you know, I'm going to come back to him. Now, but since he realized it doesn't have all these other things, so therefore it's a mekech tois because he thought they had no blemish whatsoever. He didn't check out every blemish. He figured, he says, I know this cow is not a biter. It's just not a one that just lays down on things. Now, it turns out it had one of those, which it was a nakhanis. But since he saw the other ones weren't there, and he said it's this and this and this and that, it doesn't have all this and that. Now it has one of them. He thought even that one doesn't have. When he finds that it does, it's a mekech tois, because he thought that it means that it really didn't have any. From the fact that he said it had all those, and he knew it didn't have that. Now, but says the Gemara, mum zeu mum acher. Let's say he specifies, and he says one of these blemishes, he says, it is, let's say, a biter. So he says it has this blemish and other blemishes too. But only one does he say by name. Then says the Gemara, Ein zeh mekech tois. Then, if let's say it turns out that he's like, other blemishes, I don't see any other blemishes. And then it turns out it has the one that he specified. Then it's not a mistaken acquisition, because since that's the one he mentioned by name, so that's the one the consumer should have checked out. And since he didn't, it's not a mekech tois, it's a full acquisition. He should have checked it out, and he went with that understanding that it has that blemish, and therefore he has to keep it. Similar in the Braisa regarding Hamoicher Shivcha Lachaveir Vamar Life. Someone sells a maidservant to his friend. And he tells him, look, Shivcha Zu Shaitihi. This maidservant, she's insane. Nichvasi, she's epileptic, which they just fall down from this illness. Mishumemasi, she's mentally disturbed. She's a Mishagas. Now, Vahayibam Mamecha. Now, in truth, she only had one of these blemishes, but all the rest that he was saying, she actually doesn't have. But b'sinafay bein ha-mumin, he just added it on to all these other blemishes, which were not really there. Says the Bryce, I raise a mekech tois. Again, that's a mistaken acquisition, because he's like, okay, this guy's just making this stuff up. It's just, he just wants to say, I have no responsibility, but I know she's not this and this and this and that. Now, he thought that means to say that she doesn't have the one thing that she really did have. When he finds that she really does have it, she's like, what's this? I don't want a mshagas here in my house. So therefore, it's a mekech tois. But mumizeu mamacher, but let's say he said, look, she has, let's say, says she's an epileptic and an other blemish. He says, and she has all these other stuff. Now, he doesn't see all these other stuff, but he never checked out to see if she's a nichvis. Then ain't a mekech tois. There's not a mistaken acquisition, because the one that he specified is the one he should have checked, and therefore he went along with the sale. Now, the Gemara asks, Amalir of Acha Bered Rav Ashi. He says, Hayu ba kolam u'min alalu. Let's say that actually this animal or this maidservant had all the blemishes that the owner said. Now, the thing is like this, but the consumer wasn't bothered about all these other things. Only one thing bothered him. Now he comes and he complains and he says, I thought that you were including in when you were talking about this maidservant or this animal, you were saying things that it, she did have or didn't have. Now, but had I known that I had this one thing, there's one thing that bothers me, one thing I can't stand is this. If I would have known that I had this, I would never have bought it. Now, what's the halacha in that situation? So Amalei Rav Mardechai, Rav Ashi, says, Hocha Amin Meshmeid Rav, this is what they say in the name of Rav. If all the things that he specified, that he said that she or the animal has, it does have, it's not a mistaken acquisition. Even though you thought, okay, some yes, some not, it doesn't have, and there's one thing that you I would never have bought had that, but it had all the things, and you heard that, and you agreed to the sale, and therefore, even if you thought that one thing she wouldn't have, and it does, then it's a valid sale, and therefore it's not a mechatois. Nothing more continues on the theme, the next Mishnah of the previous Mishnah is, again, regarding the rental of an animal and using it not as it was contracted to do. So the Mishnah says, if someone rents a donkey, to transport, to carry on it wheat, and then he brings in it, however, barley, which actually barley is lighter than wheat. But the Mishnah tells he's going to be chayiv. Now, the reason for this is because, as we'll see in the Gemara, Rashi actually picks one of the two interpretations of the Gemara to explain this, which is that of Abaya. He's going to be liable for the damages done to the donkey if he adds on to the amount of the barley, the amount of 3 kavin. In other words, we don't say as follows. We don't say that since barley is lighter than wheat, and he contracted that he could carry wheat on it, so he should be able to add on to the weight of the barley till it equals the weight of a lesech of chitin, because the weight that a regular donkey could carry, which is what's contracted for, is a lesech of wheat, which is a half a kor, which is this amount of wheat is allowed to be carried. Now, barley is lighter than that. So you would think that, okay, so I could add on to barley more, although that the bulk is the same, but the weight is less, I could add on to the bulk of the barley till it equals the weight of wheat. And that's what the Mishnah says, no, that actually you're going to be chayiv even if it's equal to the weight of the wheat, but since you're adding on to the bulk, you're going to be chayiv. Similarly, tavua. Let's say it was contracted, you're going to put on the animal grain. Behavior levitev, and then you put on it straw, then chayiv, you're going to be chayiv. What's the reason? So the Mishnah explains these two halachas. Because nafach is like the space that it takes, I mean, the bulk is kasha kamasli, is as harsh to an animal like weight. So therefore, since you have the, by a lesach of sa'irim, you have the same bulk as a lesach of wheat, so if you're going to add on 3 kavin of barley, although that's going to equal the weight of what a regular animal could carry for wheat, but since the bulk is more than what a regular animal carries a bulk, that's going to be harsh to the animal, just like weight, and therefore you're taking it over the maximum, as we'll see at the end of the Mishnah. 3 kavin is what in excess causes damage to an animal. So therefore, the chiddush of the Mishnah is, although here in, let's say, the straw or in the barley, what you're adding on to the weight is equal to what it normally could carry in weight, but since you're adding on the bulk, therefore you're going to be chayiv, because that will harm the animal. Continues the Mishnah. Lehevi lesach chitin, but let's say you contracted to be able to carry on the animal a lesach of wheat, which is normally what the donkey carries, and vehevi lesach sarin, and you brought just a lesach of sa'irim, meaning you didn't increase, as in the previous case, 3 kavin more, then potter, then you're going to be exempt if the animal dies, because again, if anything, you're doing less than what it usually carries, because it's the same amount of bulk, and actually just less weight. Now, but v'moisef ha-masai chayiv. So this, according to Abai, is actually one long case. It's just going back to now, like it said in the Reisha. But if you add on to the weight, and onto the load, then chayiv, then you're going to be chayiv. Now, but kama yosef ha-masai v'hei chayiv. How much do you have to add on to the load that you're going to be chayiv in regards to what you're increasing on the animal? So some chasei m'shem remeir, it's a saw legamal. For a camel, if you're adding on a saw more. And shloi shekavin lechamar. And 3 kav for a donkey, if you add on that amount, that's going to be harsh for the animal, and that's going to cause the damage. As we said, according to Abaye, that's the opening case of the Mishnah, where if you have the lesach of sa'irin, you add on 3 kavin, so that's since nefech, since bulk is the same as weight, And therefore, since the barley already has the same bulk as the wheat, although it has less weight, by adding on three kavan, it's like adding three kavan to a regular animal that it's at its max already. Adding on three kavan takes it beyond what it could, what its capacity is, and therefore harms the animal. Therefore, you're going to be chayiv if the animal dies. But as we said, and as the Gemara is going to quote, itmar, it's actually machlekes, how to interpret the three cases of our Mishnah. If it's one case, or like Rava will see, it says it's three different cases. And also, what are the, what's the gears in the Mishnah? So Abaya says, as we had explained, as actually the words are in our Mishnah, that it says that the nafach, the bulk of what an animal is carrying, is kosher kemasitnan, is harsh like weight. In other words, as we said, that even though the weight of the barley is not as heavy as the weight of wheat, but the bulk of barley, if it's the same as the bulk of wheat, is going to be the same type of burden that an animal has to carry. So therefore, a lesach of sa'irin, although it weighs less, is essentially the same as a lesach of chitin, and therefore adding on three kavan, although it's bringing up just to the weight of the wheat, doesn't make a difference. It's still taking you over what an animal could carry, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. Rav Amar, he says a different gears. He says, kasha lim masitnan. It's not like it's as harsh, that bulk is as harsh as weight. Rather, it's read as that bulk is makes it difficult to carry. That's the gears, lim masit, to carry it, that it makes it. So the Gemara explains these two interpretations. Abai Amar kasha kamasitnan. Abai says that bulk is as harsh as weight. What that means to say is that nafra, as we said, that the bulk is harsh, kitikla, just as burdensome as weight. Now, so therefore, since their bulk is equal, so it's as if, according to Abaye, that their weight is equal. And therefore, the v'imaisiv shleisha kavan, if you add on three kavan to the lesach of barley, sechayv, you're going to be chayv. Because when you're adding on three kavan to the weight of the bulk of the barley, you're really just making it equal to the weight of what the normal amount they carries for wheat. But since we said that the bulk is essentially the same as weight, so as the end of the Mishnah says, that the amount of causing damage to a donkey, to harm it, is three kavan in general, whatever its maximum is. So lesach of even sa'irim is its maximum bulk. When you add on three kavan, that's beyond its capacity, that's going to damage it, and therefore you're going to be chayv. Rav Amar, he says otherwise. He says, kasha limasoitna. He says that, he says the following premise of the interpretation of the Mishnah. If the renter equals the weight of the barley to the weight of the wheat, that's the beginning of the case. What does that mean? So according to Rav, the premise is that if the renter adds on a full saw, not three kavan, but six kavan, a full saw on the lesach of barley, then now, finally, the weight of the barley is equal to the weight of how much it normally carries for wheat. Now, but additionally, this is the point. So now the weight, says Rava, just based on that, that would be okay. Because although now we have more than how much you usually carry for wheat, but it's based on weight that causes the damage to the animal. And now adding on another saw finally makes the barley equal to that of wheat. But, says Rava, besides adding on weight, you're adding on bulk. Now, the addition of so much bulk is harsh limasa. It's hard for the animal to carry that much bulk. Now, that nafach, that bulk, is an increase that could harm the donkey. And the Gemara explains, because tikla ki tikla. As Rav is explaining, that the renter of the donkey is not going to be chayiv until he equals the weight of the barley to the weight of the wheat. Now, but then what happens is, you're right, based on weight itself, he actually would be potter. But then v'nafcha habatei sefes, the problem then becomes is that the bulk now is an increase that is damaging to the donkey. Now, but if let's say the bulk would be equal and the weight would be less, then we don't say that the equal bulk is the same as weight, like Abaye said, and therefore to let's say be chayiv if you have an increase of three kavan, because again, Rava's giras is kasha lim masli and not kasha kim masli. It's not the same as masli. If let's say you added on three kav according to Rava, so now you didn't make it equal to the, it's not equal to the weight of the wheat. So although you added on some bulk, That's not yet. It has to be equal to the weight and then bulk, according to Rava, then you're going to be chayiv. But the way Abaye's case, according to Rava, if you add on just three kaven, you still have less weight in the barley than the wheat. So even though you add on more bulk, let's say, than it usually carries, because you add on three kaven, according to Rava, you're going to be exempt. According to Abaye, you're going to be chayiv. That's machlokes Rava and Abaye in the interpretation of our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara asks from our Mishnah Tznan, and this is difficult on Rava. The Mishnah said, the middle case, lehevi lesach, because up until now we just explained the first case, and as we'll see, we'll explain from Tesis, the three cases of the Mishnah according to Abaye is one case, according to Rava is three different cases. So now they just explained the first case of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks from the middle case of the Mishnah. So now we learn, lehevi lesach chidnav. Let's say someone had made up to carry the normal burden of a donkey, which is a lesach of wheat. Vehevi lesach, sorry, and they brought a lesach of barley. Says the Mishnah, pater, he's going to be exempt. Then it goes in, but if he add on to the burden, then he's going to be liable. Says the Gemara, my love, Shloshes Kaven. Doesn't it sound like from the Mishnah that it sounds like even in that case when the wheat and the barley is the same amount of lesach, same amount of the nafach, that then you're going to be chayiv if you add on? Well, what does that mean? The normal amount of what you usually add on, which is three kaven. And that says the Gemara, lo, no. Sa, it's referring to a sa. And the Mishnah is saying that if someone made up to bring a lesach of wheat and he brought a lesach of sa'irin, the Mishnah said he's going to be exempt, even though he changed, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, from what he had made up to bring. He made up to bring wheat and he's bringing barley. The reason why he's exempt is because what he changed it to is actually more light, is actually lighter. Now, but then what the Mishnah is saying is, but then if he increases of the weight of the wheat, meaning of the weight of the barley to equal that of the wheat, that's what the Mishnah is saying. Then he's going to be chayiv because now of the increase of the bulk. But it's not because it's saying that if you increase anything like which the general increase of three kaven. No, the primary chiddush is coming to say, even though you change your potter because it's making it lighter, but then if you make it equal to the weight of the wheat, which you would think then you'd be exempt because now it's the same weight, that's like Rav had explained. No, then you're going to be chayiv because you have too much bulk. Now, but the Gemara asks, but v'alok tani, but then what do we do with the end of the Mishnah, the last case? On this, because again, as the Gemara assumes, as it is according to Abaye, that it's all one long case, whereas we're seeing according to Rava, they're splitting into different cases. But on this, the Mishnah says, the Mishnah says, on how much do you add on to the burden that if you add on too much, that you're going to be chayiv? So some chasei mishum remei says saw le gamel, for a gamel, a camel, it's one saw, shaloish kamel lechamar, and three kav for a donkey. So you see clearly from the Mishnah that the increase is not like Rav is trying to answer a saw, but rather three kaven, which sounds like a bayah. So that the Gemara says for Rav, nahachakam, and this is what the Mishnah is saying. A different case. Hecha deloishane, where you do not change, rather. Chitin vehevi chitin. If you made up to bring, not like the Mishnah was saying up until now, as the previous Mishnah is, where you made up to do one thing, you do something else, and then, okay, how much of that change is going to make you liable or not? No, the last case in the Mishnah is saying, a regular guy who followed the contract. Chitin vehevi chitin. You made up to bring wheat, he brought wheat. Sarin vehevi sarin, to bring barley, and they brought barley. That was the Mishnah's question at the end. Kama yisav amasoy vehechayv. Now, how much do you, if you add on, because everyone wants to chaparayin, put on over the max, that then you're going to be liable because you're doing too much that the animal could carry. That's what he was coming to say. And for a camel, it's one saw, and for a donkey, it's three kaven. And it was talking about different halacha. And this, they were saying, how much do you increase to be chayiv? That wasn't going back in the previous case of when you had made up to bring wheat and that you brought barley instead. Because in actuality, the way Rav is interpreting, that would be an increase of a problem of only of a saw. And here where it's saying it's for three kaven is when you bring up that same min. That same min, then an increase is three kaven. So again, as Tosfos explains, according to Abaye, the seifa of the Mishnah that says Kama Yosef is coming to explain the ratio. Because really, essentially, according to Abaye, it's really too much like one type of a case. When you made up to bring one thing, and you brought something else, meaning instead of wheat, you brought barley, then the Mishnah is telling us, if it's the same, meaning you brought a lesach of barley, just like a lesach of wheat, then you're going to be potter. But if you add on, even just three kaven, as the end of the Mishnah says, which is really qualifying the case of the Reisha, that's what really the opening case of the Reisha is talking about, then you're going to be chayiv again, because he holds that nafach, essentially bulk, is the same challenging as burdensome to the animal as weight. So therefore, even though it weighs less, and by adding on three kaven, it still weighs less than wheat, doesn't make a difference because the bulk is too much for the animal to handle. Now, but however, according to Rava, it's really three different cases. The ratio that says that if you contracted to bring wheat and it brings barley, that's talking about that if you had made it first the weight of the barley equal to the weight of the wheat, which means to say you had added a sah of barley more than how much the animal usually carries. That's what the Mishnah is saying, going to be chayiv, because then the bulk, because although the weight is okay, because it's equal to the weight of the wheat, but now the bulk is way too much, that is kasha limasai. It makes it more difficult to carry. Then there's the middle case, which is that he contracted to bring a lesser of wheat, and he brings a lesser of sa'irim, then he's going to be pater, even though, and that's part of the chiddush, the way Tais is saying, that he added on 3 kavim for the donkey, because we don't say that the weight is equal to that weight. In other words, because it still weighs less. Now, and then the end of the Mishnah says that where you did not change, rather you brought from that same type, so how much do you have to add on to the load to be chayiv? That's what we're saying, that it was a saw for a gamal and 3 kavim for a chamar. That's how we understand the Mishnah, both according to Abaye and according to Rav. The Gemara continues, Tashima. The Gemara says, let's bring from the following Braisa, seemingly not like Abaya. The Braisa says, Lehevi lesachit, if someone contracted to bring a lesach of wheat. Behevi, and instead he brought, as we continue on Tamad Beis, Sheish Esri Sa'irim, 16 Sa of Sa'irim. That's because a lesach is a half a kor is 30 Sa, and a lesach is 15 Sa. Now, instead of bringing a lesach of wheat, which is 15 Sa of wheat, he brought 16 sa of barley, which means that he added on another sa. And the reason why he did that was because he wanted it to equal the load of how much wheat usually is. Meaning 15 sa of wheat, that weight is equal to 16 sa of barley. Says the Braisa, sa chayiv. So then he's going to be chayiv because of the extra load that there is in regards to the bulk. Because instead of carrying a lesach, it's carrying a lesach plus another sa. Although it's equal to the weight of the wheat, but it's too much of the load. Now on that, the Gemara asks, Hashleishes kaven pater. What it sounds like from the Braisa is, it's only because you add on to the barley, which was the same amount of lesach originally, it's only because you add on another sa of the barley, you're going to be chayiv. But if you only add on a half a sa, meaning 3 kaven, then you're going to be exempt, which is like Rava. Because according to Abaya, it's kasha kimasa, it's the same thing. So you don't. It shouldn't be only if you make it an extra saw. It should be even if you add on only 3 kavan. So it sounds like just like Rava. So that the Gemara says, Tirgama Abaya. Abaya interprets this braisa that is Tirgama b'mechiksa, talking about by a totally flat measurement. That is because, as we said, that the load of a donkey is a lesach. Now, how do you measure a lesach, a measurement? So generally, it's measured as tefufos, 15 sa'im of tefufos. Now, tefufos is where it's not totally flat, meaning you don't flatten out the top of the measurement, and neither is it what's called gadush. It's not overflowing way that too much. Now, Abaye says that this case that says to be chayiv in the increase, you need to have 16, instead of really, according to Abaye, it should only have to be 15 and a half, is talking about where they're mechukos. Mechukos are where there is no overflow at all. Tefufos is a little bit, gadush is way over, and then you have this mechukos. He says, talking about mechukos. Now, mechukos will be missing 3 kav from what normally would be the 16 of tefufos. So essentially he says, you're only going to have over here an increase of bulk of 3 kavin on the lesach of what's normally of tefufos. Because again, if you would have an increase in a regular case, which are tefufos, so then, yeah, then actually it would only have to be another 3 kavin. But since here they're not being measured with a little bit more than what they usually are, meaning the tefufos, how much the measurements usually are, a little bit extra, but rather it's totally leveled, so that really is less. It's lesser measurements. That's going to take you only up to 15 and a half, even by adding on another saw. So that's why it really comes out to be exactly like Abaye says, albeit this case is adding on the saw, but it's not taking you to 16 of tefufos. This taking of the 16 of mechukos will take you up to only what usually is 15 and a half of tefufos, which is another 3 kavin, which is exactly like Abaye. The Gemara continues with a related discussion regarding the topic that we're discussing, regarding carrying, adding on too much than what an animal usually could carry, like we said in the Mishnah. So, turn point one, the Braisa related halachas in different contexts. Kav is considered an addition, likasif, to a person that carries loads, a porter. So if someone adds on to the load that he's supposed to carry, another kav, more than what he usually carries, so that's going to damage, that's going to injure that person who's carrying. And therefore, that's something that has to be considered, as the Gemara will explain. Now, Rashi just points out, from here we learn that the load that a regular person usually carries is 30 kav, which are 5 saw. Again, because a kav, 6 kav is a saw. Now, the proof of this is, because we learned in the Mishnah, that the additional amount that will damage the donkey is 3 kavan, which is a half a saw. Now, the load that we said a donkey usually carries is a lesach, which are 15 saw. So obviously, the addition is 1/30th of what it usually could carry. If you add on one thirtieth more, that's going to injure the animal. And so too over here, by the kasef, we see that if you're going to add on a kav more, that you're going to be chayiv. Obviously, that means to say that he usually carries 30 kav. So a 30th more is going to injure him. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask, but he's an intelligent person. If he couldn't carry with this extra kav more, he should have thrown it off. Why would the one who hired him be liable for his injuries? But that the Gemara will address. Continues the Braisa. Adriv, which is a lesach, is considered an addition la'areva, meaning too much, that will break whatever you're adding on to, which is, in this case, la'areva for a small boat. You add on more than the maximum it could carry, an adriv more, meaning lesach more, then it's a liability for damaging the boat that you're renting. A kar is 30 saw, is considered an addition lesvina for a middle-sized ship. And shleish is karim, 3 kar leborne gedayla for a large ship. If you add on 3 kar more than it's supposed to, its maximum amount, that again is going to damage the ship, and then the one, let's say, who's renting is going to be chayv. Like Mark explains, as we had just alluded to before, I'm a mar, the town of the Bryce has said, kav lekasef. A porter who usually carries a certain amount, if you add on a kav more, then you're going to be chayiv for injuring him. So ask the Gemara, im ishtad le motzi be, if he realized he couldn't carry it, bar dasu, he's an intelligent person, l'shadi, he should have thrown it off. Why would the guy who's hiring him be liable for loading him up too much? So Abaye explains, b'shechavati la'alter, it's talking about where he fell to the ground immediately. In other words, he didn't get a chance to take off the load from his shoulder because he automatically, right away, he collapsed beneath the load that was put on him. So that's why the one who put on too much is chayiv. Ravam, he says, he says, no, even if he didn't collapse beneath the load right away, we only needed to say this, that the one who's hiring him has exceeded the limit by adding on the kav more than how much he usually could carry. It's ella igri yaseir. It just means to say that he could charge more for the work that he did. Because, yeah, I know you hired me to carry stuff, but that's way too much. That's overloading. No one does that amount, so he could charge more. Ravashim, he says, a third interpretation, he says, no. Your question was, he's intelligent. How could we hold the guy who hired him liable? He should have taken off himself. And then Rav Ashi says, "Who saw Rachul Shahu Denakali? He thought he just happened to be weak that day. I didn't have my protein shake in the morning. He thought, like, why am I feeling so weak? You know, I feel my knees buckling. And little did he know that the guy who hired him put on more than what was allowed to be put on. So that's why the guy who hired him is going to be chayiv. Why you say he's intelligent and should have taken it off? He didn't realize that it was the burden. He thought it was something about him. And that's why the one who hired him will be chayiv. Now, the Braisa also said that kar lesvina, that for a middle-sized ship, adding on a kar of weight is going to be chayiv for the one who rented the ship. And shleishes kar in leburni gedel, and 3 kar for a large ship. So Amar Papi says, Shema Mino, what we could infer from this halacha is that stam svinas, that a regular ship, meaning a middle-sized ship, bas telustin kairin, has to be able to be big enough and to be able to carry and go and travel on the water by carrying 30 kar. The reason for that is, as we said, the same ratio before, that the addition that's going to damage something is always 1/30th of it. From the fact that we say that a car, if you add that on to the weight of a cargo of a ship, obviously that means to say that a regular ship carries 30 kar. Now, the Gemara says, "L'may nafkamin, for what halachic relevance is this?" Says the Gemara, "L'makech memkar, for business dealings." And then if you rent a ship, a middle-sized ship, if it can't carry 30 kar, then that's erroneous on the part of the one who's renting it to you, where it has to be able to have at least the capacity of carrying 30 kar. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on a related discussion of, like, the title of our parak, which is someone who hires a craftsman, a worker, a professional. So the Mishnah continues on the relationship of someone who's hiring a craftsman. So kolo umnen, all what's called kablonin, a craftsman who accepts upon himself a job to do in his house. Meaning, you give it to a tailor, He's in his house. He works in his house. You give him the cloth. He's going to do the job. He doesn't charge by the hour. He charges by the job. So says the Mishnah, the craftsmen, shemi sacharhein. They have the halacha of he's guarding, he's holding on to your pekudin, onto your cloth. He's turning it into a garment. But he has the halacha of a shemi sachar who's getting paid for watching. What that means to say is, just like a shemi sachar who, if he gets paid for watching your stuff, he's liable if it gets stolen or lost from him. So too, a uman has that halachic status of a shemi sachar. And the Gemara will explain why is he a shemi sachar. He's not getting paid to watch your stuff. Why is he chayav for gneiva aveda? Now, but, says the Mishnah, but in all these situations, if the craftsman, if this professional says, here, take your shirt, take your stuff, take your pants, I already finished it, and then when you take it, then you can go ahead and bring me money. In other words, what he's telling him, the message is, the meta message is, that look, I'm not holding on to your stuff to hold it as collateral until I get paid. No, go ahead, take your stuff. After you take it, then you'll pay me. Then says the Mishnah, from that point on, he's a shemir chinam. Then he's considered a guardian who's watching for free, which then he's exempt from gneiva aveda. The Gemara will explain why at this point, if he's saying that, go ahead, take your stuff, is he not a shemir sachar anymore, but rather a shemir chinam. Gemara says, similar case where you could either be a shemir sachar or a shemir chinam. Shamar li ve'esh malach. If someone says, here, watch this for me, and I'll watch this for you. So shemir sachar. So he's considered a paid guardian because each one is getting a favor out of the other one. So he's watching not for free, not as for nothing, but as getting something back from the other person. But let's say he says, Shamarli, watch this for me. And the other guy says, okay, hanach lefanai, just leave it here in front of me. So then there's shemechinim. He's watching for free. He's not getting anything out of the other guy. So again, he would be pater from Gneiva Aveda. Continues the Mishnah, Hilvehu, if someone lends money to someone else, al hamashkin, on the security, on collateral, meaning the lender takes something from the other person that's an amount that he knows as a safety that he's, in case this guy defaults on the loan, he has this security. So then the lender is on the mashkin, a shemer sachar. He's considered that he's has the halacha of, when he's watching this, he's watching it, he's getting a benefit, which is like a guy who's watching who's getting paid. And the reason for that, the Gemara will explain, is that actually the benefit of the mitzvah. And therefore, he's going to be chayav gneiva aveda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he says it depends, actually. He says, no, hilveo mois, if he lent him money, then actually shemechinim. Then he's actually going to have only the halacha of shemechinim, because Rabbi Yehuda does not hold that the benefit of a mitzvah has a halachic relevancy in regards to saying that as if you're getting a benefit, and therefore that you should be chayav gneiva aveda. He says, no, you consider shemechinim. But he agrees, hilveo peiros, if let's say you lent the guy produce, and then he gives you a mashkin, then the lender is going to be a shemer sachar on the mashkin. The reason that is because the guy who lent his payers actually gains because he wants it out of the house. He wants it to lend it to someone else because or else they're going to rot. So he's gaining on this loan, which is what the collateral is in transaction for. So therefore, holding on to this mashkin, it's not just watching for free. He's actually gaining something in that, and therefore he's going to be like a shemer sachar. Now, related discussion that we're discussing regarding a loan and a mashkin. So Abba Sholem, he says, Rusho Odom Lahasker, a person is allowed to rent to other people, Mashkoini Shalani, the security of a pauper who he has by him, meaning the lender, Liyas Paisik, to then contract payment on Bahailikhalov and to constantly go and rent it out to people, this guy's security, to keep on diminishing the amount of the debt that's owed to him from this loan from the poor person to him. And the Gemara will explain what type of mashkin are we talking about. But the Mishnah says, why are you allowed to do this? It's essentially like returning a lost item to somebody. Meaning, this security, the pauper could not have done anything with it because he has to hold it for the wealthy person. Now, the wealthy person is holding onto it. It's not doing anything anyway. Let him at least rent it out, lease it out to other people. And then he gets money for that. And he keeps on deducting the amount that the pauper owes him based on what he's getting for the rental of the item. So it's essentially all gain for the poor person and no loss for the lender. And therefore, a person is allowed to do that in renting out the item of the poor person that he has as a mashkin. Now, the Gemara goes back to the opening halacha of our Mishnah and says, let's say our Mishnah is not like Remeir. Why? Because the Tanya Luna Brice says follows. Regarding a seicher, if someone, let's say, rents an animal, so the question is, ketzad mishalom, how does he pay if something happens to the animal? What does that mean? So in the Torah, there are three different types of shemrim that are written. There's a shemrim chinam, a guy who watches for free. Yeshem Esachar, there's a paid guardian. And there's a Shayel, a guy who borrows. He gets all the gain. Now, the halacha of a Seicher, of a renter, doesn't say, and therefore the question that the Gemara is discussing, that the Bryce is discussing, is what is his liability regarding if, let's say, he gets stolen or lost? Is he going to be exempt or is he going to be chayev? So on that, we actually have machlikis. Remeir, I mean, he says, kishrei mechinam. He says that the renter has halacha like an unpaid guardian. Why? Because Remeir holds that this guy's paying for the work that he's doing with this item, with this animal. And moreover, he's not getting paid for watching the animal. If anything, actually, he's paying to have to be able to use the animal. So therefore, he says he has halacha like a shem rechina. Now, moreover, the Gemara assumes at this point that a craftsman essentially has the same status like a seicher, like a renter. Why? Because why does this craftsman have this object? He's not getting paid to watch it. The payment that he's getting is the payment for his labor, for his work. It's the equivalent of the renter who has it, but he's paying for the item that he's using. So therefore, the Gemara assumes that the seicher has the same halacha like the uman. And we see that Rav Meir says that has halacha like a shem mechina. Now, Rav Yehudaim, he says, no, kesher mesach. He says that a renter has halacha like a paid guardian. And he says, because, wait a second, this renter, by having the object, this animal by him, he's getting benefit from it. Now, although he's paying for the work, for the benefit that he has, which is called a rental, he's still going to be a shem esacha, because Rabbi Yehuda's logic is, if he wouldn't pay for the animal that he's using, which is someone else's thing, actually then he would be a shayel, he would be the halacha of a borrower who's chayv and einzin. Now that he's paying for his ability to use it, he's not a shayel, but he's still a shem esacha. He's not going to be all the way down to a shem echinim. So that's the machlik is regarding a renter. He's like a shem echinim or shem esacha. But one thing we see, Rav Meir says like a shem echinim. And as we pointed out, the Gemara assumes that essentially the seicher is the same as the uman, where they're not getting paid for the actual watching itself. And moreover, the fact that it's by them, there's something that they're providing for that. For that is by them, either like by the seicher who's paying for the utility of it, or like by the uman. It's, what do you mean? The fact that he's getting paid is because of the labor that he's doing, but he's not getting paid for any watching. So therefore, we see that Remeir holds like a shem echinim, and our Mishnah says clearly that a uman is like a shem esacher. So similarly, our Mishnah is not like Remeir. Says the Gemara, Philotim Remeir, you could say that no, the time of a Mishnah is like Remeir. So what's the difference? Bahihano de koshavik kuli alma, for that benefit that this owner, when he wanted to make this garment or his shoes or whatever it is that he's going to a craftsman for, that he left all, he didn't go to any other craftsman. The ugly lady day, and he hired this guy, this woman, havi ilave shem esacher. So for that benefit, wow, you picked me. Okay, I know I'm getting paid for my service, and I'm not getting paid to watch your thing, but you picked me. So that benefit that you picked me over everyone else makes a benefit, so that when I'm watching it, I'm getting a benefit, which is essentially what a shem esacher is, who's getting a benefit. Usually it's in money, but here's in the benefit of being picked. It makes him into a shem esacher. That's why it's different than the case of Reb Meir in the Brisa, which was by an uman. That's the difference by the seicher. By the uman, I'm being picked. So that is a benefit which makes him into a shem esacher, in contrast to the seicher, which is like a shem echina. Now, not the Gemara asked, but if that's the case, then seicher nami. The same logic should apply to a renter too. The fact that the owner ignored everyone else that wanted to rent his thing. He rented it just to this one guy. Wow, I know I'm paying for this thing to rent it, but you gave it to me? So that benefit should make him into a shem esacher, just like the same logic he's saying by a uman. So why by a seicher does he say shem echinim, and then in our Mishnah, where we're saying a uman is a shem esacher? So says the Gemara, Ela filotim Reb Meir. No, so we'll give a different interpretation, a different explanation. You could even say the town of a Mishnah is like Reb Meir. So why is it any different, the uman from the seicher? But he ano. The kiyov leitfei purtav, and that benefit that the owner pays the craftsman a little bit more. In other words, because you can't be exacting to make up when the guy, you go to a mechanic, you go to a tailor, you want to pay them for the amount of labor that they're doing. But you don't pay him per hour, you pay him for the job. Now, it's not possible to make it exactly to the amount of labor that he's been doing, that he shouldn't be taking more. You're ultimately going to be paying him a little bit more than the amount of what the labor is. So for that addition that he's getting for doing the job, more than the amount that he really should be taking for his labor, havei levei, shem esacher, for that he becomes a shem esacher. In contrast to a seicher, where a seicher pays for whatever the amount of the rent that it costs. But the Gemara says that seicher nami, renter, you should have the same logic too. Because Mila Eskina, Esk Gemara, isn't it also talking about, in the case of the Braisa, to kamash bilate fei porta, that the owner of the animal who rents out the animals, isn't Remeir talking about that even if he charged him a little bit less than he usually charged for the rent, still he's going to have the halachic status of Hashem Echidim? Remeir doesn't differentiate, and still you see that even though he's getting that benefit of being charged less, he's still Hashem Echidim. So why is that different than getting paid more of the Uman that turns him into Hashem Esachar? Se'ela afil tem Remeir. So the Gemara says, okay, a different approach. We could even say that the mission is like Remeir. Now, so what's the difference again between the Uman that we're saying it's like Hashem Esachar and between a Seicher who is saying it's like Hashem Echidim? Is by he hanod, the toughest la igre, for that benefit, that the craftsman gets to hold on to the, let's say, the shirt that he's making, if he's a tailor. He could hold on to it for his pay, meaning to say, he doesn't have to go chasing after the guy who hired him to get money from him. He doesn't have to call these collection agencies to get money out of him because, good, I have your shirt. You know, you want your shirt, you got to pay me first. That's a big benefit where he doesn't have to go ahead with collections. It's for that benefit that turns the Uman into Hashem Esachar. So again, the way Taisa explains it is that definitely by the Uman, the fact that he could hold on to the object until he gets paid, that benefit turns him into Hashem Esachar because generally, craftsmen, they do their work in the house of the homeowner. And they're not holding on to anything that they could use as collateral until they get paid. Now, therefore, this guy who we're explaining the case of the Mishnah, who's working from his house and is holding on to the owner's stuff, so he really gets a lot of benefit. In contrast to the renter, there's no benefit over there that he's holding on to the owner's object because every renter holds on to the item that he's renting because he can't do his work if it's not in the renter's domain. So there's no element over here to say that a renter is gaining anything more than in general, and therefore the renter will have the halacha like Hashem Echinam, whereas the woman will have the halacha like Hashem Esachar. So again, we could say the town of Amisha is like a mayor. Or if the Gemara says, if you want, you could really say that as we had assumed originally, that actually that the Uman is the same parallel as a Seicher, and still we could say that the Mishnah is like Remeir. Why? Like Rabbi Bavu had actually switched around the Girsa in that Brice and he taught the other way around. He said, Seicher keitz mishalom, how does the renter pay when something happens to the animal that he rented? Remeir aymer k'shem esachar. Remeir is the one who says like a shem esachar, which is exactly like our Mishnah then. If a seicher is the same like an Uman, and our Mishnah says Uman is shem esachar, Remeir then is like the town of our Mishnah. Whereas Rabbi Huda aymer k'shem echinim. Rabbi Huda is the one who says like it's like a shem echinim. Now, so what do you gain? So now, okay, so the Mishnah is like Remeir, but not like Rabbi Huda. What we gain is because Stam Mishnah is Remeir. Generally, we assume that anonymous Mishnah is like Remeir, and therefore we could say that the Mishnah is like Remeir, like Rabbi Avuah, because then the opinions in the Braisa are actually attributed to other opinions, and that's why we could say that it's like Remeir.